Amen. Here we go. Let's go for the last message in this little series called Rehab. We've had a great time, I think, in this series. I hope you've been helped, you know, along the way. Help with your mind a little bit. Help with your growing in Christ. We've hooked our wagon to Saul, who got saved, and he's the Apostle Paul, and we've been following him along, and we're going to finish it today. Amen? Next week, a brand new series called Off-Roading. That happens in life sometimes, where you get off-roading. You're not on that path, and you need some help. We're going to look at a little series called Off-Roading next Sunday morning. But let's do this today. Can you say it with me one last time? Rehab. We all could use some... Amen. Come on. Let's keep going. So here's what we've learned on this journey. We started out with road trip. Saul of Tarsus was a persecutor of Christians. He was a killer of Christians. One of the greatest preachers in the Bible was a man named Stephen. And he was stoned. And this guy's clothes, this great preacher, Stephen, his clothes were laid at the feet of a man named Saul. Wow. That's chapter 7 and chapter 8 of the book of Acts. Chapter 9, he's on the road to Damascus on a road trip to go apprehend and persecute more Christians. And Jesus Christ appeared to him and he was struck to the ground with a blinding light. And that is where he realized he wasn't a big dog anymore. And he called Jesus Christ. See if you can remember it. What did he call Jesus? He called him what? Lord. Can you say that with me? He called him Lord. Is that who Jesus is? Some little good buddy to you? What is he? Is he Lord of your life? Is he the only way to God the Father? That's what the Bible says. Or is he, oh no, he's just another way. You know, they're good people. Their way works. His way works. Not if he's Lord. There's a difference if somebody is what? Lord. That's who he was. He didn't know much. All he knew was this. Lord! That's all you need to know. Call Jesus Christ Lord. Amen? Well, that's the most important thing you'll ever do to change your life, to see your life go in a different direction. Second message was one called 180. A lot of people think it's the hokey pokey where you turn your own life around. You pick yourself up by your bootstraps. The Christian life is a 180. It's turning and going from one way and turning and following Jesus Christ. It's the okie dokie. Amen? Whatever you say, God, that's what I'm going to do. That's the Christian life. You ought to get that in your head. Keep looking. Also, we saw a message called Shrink. We let Dr. Paul be our shrink instead of Dr. Phil. And we learned, if you really want to have your mind and your life transformed by the power of Christ, it's not going to a shrink. It's you and me shrinking. Amen? Less of me, more of him. You know, he needs to increase. I need to decrease. Amen? Humble myself before him. Fourth message was, what do you do with crazy people in your life? There's crazy people out there. Remember the hand signals and one of them wasn't a finger? Remember that? Amen? All those hand signals that we gave, we wrote a song called the Okie Dokie. I don't even remember it now, but it was funny at the time. Amen? All right. So we wrote that song. That's how you deal with people. Then last week was one of my favorite messages I've ever preached in the Bible, ever, in my whole life. And I was like, why? Because of the delivery? No, none of that. Because it spoke to me. Wow. I couldn't believe it. And then I'll tell you what happened last week after the service. I had several people come up to me, and that happens a lot. I thank God for that, that God's Word is getting into people's lives. But I had a dear, sweet lady, and I'm not going to mention her. Dear, sweet lady in this congregation. She came up to me and just waited patiently. It was hard for her to even get down to me. And it's not easy. She grabbed me and just right here and just, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And she's been diagnosed with cancer. And thank me that she knows God's grace is going to be sufficient. God's strength is going to be perfected in her weakness. She's got a ticket to heaven. Amen? She's going to be with Jesus one day. And so I love that message last week. I had some others come up to me and they told me they've been taught that they didn't get healed, they didn't get well because they didn't have enough faith. You know how debilitating that is when somebody tells you that? Say, you know, you're not getting better because you don't have enough faith. Amen? I think we all ought to have faith. But if you study your Bible carefully, I didn't say this last Sunday, I believe out of all the healings that Jesus did, only one of them did He mention the person's faith. You think God needs you? Say. Somebody tell me you think He needs you. Yes or no? Say. Somehow we think we still got to do it. Amen? I got to do it. I'm not saying we shouldn't have faith in God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I understand that. But somehow you think if you can work yourself up, God just might fix you. Listen, He's given you the book, the Word of God, to grow in. He's given you the Holy Spirit in your life. Listen, you're all dying. Did you know all of you got something's killing you? Say. That's what's going to happen to us. But we're here on this planet to shine for Him, to be a testimony for Him. Listen. But to get somehow in our mind, we don't have enough faith to get healed or to get over this or to get us a new house or whatever. That's just crazy Bible teaching. Y'all listening or I'm putting you to sleep already? Amen? So that was last week. Let's go with this week's message. And it's not going to be very long. I'm going to tell you that right now. On purpose. I have a little Garmin like that. I really like that sucker. I did a message just on Gigi. I call her Gigi. My Garmin girl. Amen? And I love this little sucker. I can push that no matter where I'm at. There's a place on there and I can go, punk. Because it says, home. It'll take me home no matter where I'm at. I love that. All I got to do is go, poof, take me home. And it'll tell me just the roads I'm supposed to take and all that kind of good stuff. And so that's our thought today. Pop it up, Raj. Say that with me. The road back home. Rehab. What happens when you're a child of God? You're a Christian. And you just screw up. You just get off the road. In the old day, we called it backsliding. Amen? Say, what do you do? Is there help for people like that? People like me? Is there help for us? Say, or do we have to come up with another doctrine that says if you don't live just like you're supposed to live, you're not saved anymore. You're going to hell again. That's what a lot of denominations teach. I don't buy that one either, friend. I'll tell you that right now. I didn't save me and I can't keep me saved. Are y'all listening to that or not? I didn't save me and I can't keep me saved. Salvation for Gary Clark is every day God has to save my tail. I confessed in the truck this morning sin. I was preaching in the first service this morning on this stage. I'm talking to people like this, and they don't know it, but I'm confessing to God inside of my spirit because I'm wrong about what I'm telling them. I'm the one with a problem. Y'all listening or not? But I thought if you save, man, you're going to always have it good. You're always going to do it right. Amen. I don't know where that come from. Are y'all listening or not? Okay? I didn't save me. I can't keep me saved. The blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, help me now, cleanses us from all what? Does all sin mean the sin I committed just before I got saved? Or does that mean His blood's going to cleanse me after I got saved? Somebody answer the question for me. Before and after. Wouldn't you say that? Yes or no, people? I want to help you. You can get screwed up. Your mind, we've been talking rehab. If you don't watch it, you can entertain a doctrine that somehow makes you think you're not getting healed because it's your fault. You just don't have enough faith. You can also think you're going to hell again. I'm going to hell again. Why? Because I've sinned. What does He do? Write your name down in pencil in the Lamb's Book of Life? Say. Does the Bible say He writes your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Yes, it does. So what does He do? Got an eraser up there? Whoops! Jesse messed up. I thought I'd pick on one of the nicest guys in the auditorium. Amen? So that's what I want to talk to you about. How do I get back home, preacher? I don't have me no Garmin girl. Amen? Let's talk about it. Here we go. As a rehabilitated believer in Jesus Christ, I am to carry my own burdens. on the road of life. I'm to carry my own burdens. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. The Apostle Paul writing, he's our teacher. For every man shall bear his own what? I gave a whole series on this topic a couple of years ago. What is my burden? What is my burden? What I mean by that, we're all of us as children of God, the Bible says we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus. We're called soldiers. Okay, that's how we're supposed to live this Christian life. And that word burden, we're to carry our own burden. The word actually is a soldier's pack. I don't know if y'all remember that or not. It's a pack on your back, Jack. Remember that? Pack on your back, Jack. You and I have a responsibility now that we're a child of God. We're a believer in Christ. And part of that responsibility, what does that mean as I carry my own burden? That means I'm to prove my own work. He has a purpose for me. I'm to share out of my own resources and not act like the federal government and spend everybody else's money. Excuse me. Number three, we're to do good to all men. That's part of the Christian life, part of our responsibility. And I'm to glory in the cross of Jesus. Amen? So as a child of God, I am to carry my own burden, my own load. I'm to carry my weight. I'm to follow Christ. I'm to carry His what? Cross? Deny myself. It's my personal responsibility, and it's really not all that heavy, friend. Okay? But sometimes, things happen. We get overwhelmed. Okay? I don't know. I can do this. I can carry this load on my back. But there's something more I want to look at this morning. Keep going. What happens, though, when a Christian has a burden that's heavier than they can bear? Let's crush him again. Go ahead. Bang. One more time. Let's pop his head up. Bang. One more time. Hit him again. Bang. That's what we're going to do to the Saints Thursday night. Hit him one more time. Bang. One more time. This is Drew Brees. One more time. Hit him. Come on. Reggie Bush, hit him one more time. Amen. There we go. I'm sorry. That was for Danny. That was for Danny. Thumbs down on the message, man. What happens when a Christian has a burden that's heavier than they can bear? Here it is. The answer is, say it with me. Wouldn't it be great in Englewood? Wouldn't it be great in Port Charlotte? Wouldn't it be great in Venice or Sarasota if people thought of Fellowship Church as their Garmin girl, as their Gigi? Wouldn't it be great if we could have that kind of reputation in this town? Is that, and I'm talking to both lost, but to people who've been saved, but they're away from God. Wouldn't it be great to know this would be a place they could come back home? Say, you think that would be a cool thing? Say. Or they're going to be judged. I can't believe you did that. You're a Christian. You went and did all that. Wouldn't it be great if we could be that kind of church that would welcome people who were screwed up? Amen? Or who in their life had screwed up. Yeah, come on. Wouldn't that be nice? All right. Now to do that, folks, we have to be able to have that burden on our back and be able to be soldiers who are carrying our burden. Amen? All right. We've got to be able to do that. But what happens when somebody, you know, they're a soldier in the Lord's army, but man, they just can't do it anymore. They've fallen down. They can't carry it. They need some help. That's what we're talking about this morning a little bit from the Apostle Paul. There's no other answer than the Church of God has to help. The road back home. Let's just go real quick, Raj. Galatians 6:2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Would you quote that with me one more time? Pop it up. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the... One more time. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We know what the Ten Commandments are. If you don't know, you can get a DVD out front. We'll teach in 30 minutes. You'll know them. But Jesus not only said these commandments are right and good and you need to do them. Amen. Okay. But He also said you're to love your neighbor as yourself. Didn't He say that? Yes or no? You're to love God, you're to love people. That is what we say at Fellowship Church. We're to love Jesus Christ and we're to love people. We need to be a place that bears other people's burdens. Okay? Especially Christians. Instead of putting them down, instead of gossiping about them, instead of talking about them like a dog or whatever, pointing the finger. Help fulfill the law of Christ. Do you think Jesus Christ loves His children when they go astray? You still think He loves them? Our problem is when people do us wrong, we don't love them anymore, do we? Or we don't love them like He loves them. We don't, do we? So somehow there's a disconnect in the church because we're humans and we don't think like He thinks. But Jesus Christ teaches when a brother or a sister is overtaken in a fall, you and I need to help them. Amen? Get them back on that road to rehab, man. Keep looking. You mean I got to carry my load on this road and help somebody else carry their load too? Yeah, pretty much, but that's not exactly what the Bible's teaching here. Pop it up. No, that's not what the Scripture's saying. The Bible's not saying carry your own pack, Jack, and grab their pack and carry their pack on your back too, Jack. That's not what the Bible's saying. The Bible's saying, here's a Christian brother or sister. Their pack's on the ground, they're on the ground. It's not about putting their pack on their back, on your back. It's about helping them get back up again so that the pack can go back on their back. It's never on your back. But unless they get up and get that pack back up on their back, ain't nothing happening. Y'all cool or I'd lose you? Keep looking. The word burden, we're to carry our own burden, is a different word, burden, in verse 5 when we're to carry somebody else's burden and help their burden. It's a different word. The one is a soldier's pack. But when it talks about us bearing another brother or sister's burden, it's a different word. Keep looking. Keep looking. We're not talking about the everyday burdens that we all must bear. And your pack's all kind of stuff as a Christian you're carrying around. Amen? But this brother or sister has a special situation and need that needs help. It's a different word. It's a weight much greater than an everyday burden that they're carrying. It's very unusual, this word. This is an enormous burden that this person has been knocked down by. Keep looking. It's an oppressive weight. It's killing them. It's killing their witness, their testimony. They're depressed. They feel guilty. They don't think they can come back to God. They've been talked about, lied about. Satan has used that against them perhaps. I don't know. It's oppressive. Did they sin? It's so heavy they can't bear it. So what does the church do to them? Kick them out? There is a place in the Scripture for church discipline. If you're in this body and you don't agree with what we're teaching, what we're doing, you want to live a helter-skelter the whole other way, then get out. Got it? Yes or no? But if you're here and you're hurt and you're wounded and you know you're the one that did it and you're hurting, should I just leave you lay in the floor and kick you in the teeth, or should I help you? Help them, Clark. Amen? Are y'all listening? I think I'm talking to myself this morning. Maybe that's what I need. First service, it was God telling me. Maybe He's telling me this one. I don't know. They must have help if they're going to be able to make it. We've talked like this before. So what is this heavy weight that has got them knocked down? Keep looking. Before we look at that, I want to look at this little thought right here, the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The Bible says, I'm to help my brother or sister who has been overtaken in a fall. And if I do that, I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. Wow. That's almost like Paul saying last week, okay, I'll suffer if you're telling me your grace is going to be sufficient and I can be perfect, your strength in me perfecting my weakness. It's almost the same idea. It's like, are you telling me if I help my brother or sister who's fallen, instead of doing what I want to do to them and, you know, tell them, hey, it's your fault, blah, blah, whatever. Are you telling me if I reach out and love them and help them and encourage them, I'm fulfilling a special law that Jesus gave? Well, if I'm doing that, then I want to do that. Amen? Say, if it's something special that I can do for Him, and that's what the church needs to do. It's the principle of love. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. This is before he gives us this passage. Before Paul gives us this passage in chapter 6, he says this, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Say that with me. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But here's what a lot of churches do, and I don't want to be that church. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed. What? How many in here thinks, listen to me very carefully, please listen, how many here thinks it's possible for you to sin and get away from God? Can I see your hand? Put your hand up. How many thinks it's possible for you to sin and get away from God? How would you want us to treat you if you did that? Say, you want me to kick you in the head? You want me to give you the truth? But you probably want the truth in love. Amen? That's how we need to think about when we got a fallen brother or sister, how would I want to be treated? Amen? We don't want to do that. We want the principle of love. A new commandment I give unto you, Jesus said, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Why? By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. Wouldn't it be great if Fellowship Church was known as that place where they just love each other? Amen. Yes or no? And I know I'm just redundant. I'm just wanting you to say it so it gets in your noggin. I want to be the Garmin Church. I want to be the place when that child of God who's away from God, I want them to know they can push that thing and they can come here. And Miss Edna out there, when you come up, she's going to hug you just like she hugs them. Amen? And all of us are going to be, yeah, praise God. Amen? I want to be that kind of church. That's what I'm talking about today. So what's my responsibility then? If I'm going to be that kind of person, pastor, Christian, church, what is our responsibility? I mean, I know I've gone through some serious rehab and I'm stronger for it, but what am I supposed to do? Okay? What's my responsibility? Amen. On this road of rehab that we've all been on, here I am. Now, last week was a huge message. Man, I'm strong. Even when bad things happen, sickness, persecution, insults, distresses, whatever, man, your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is perfected in my weakness. I am now on. Man, I'm standing up. I'm strong. You know what my responsibility is now? Help somebody who ain't. Got it? Yes or no? Help somebody who ain't. That's my thought this week. Help somebody who ain't. Did God give me all this rehab stuff so now I can just go around strong? Look at me, I'm strong. Or did God get me here so I could help the weak? I believe that's why I'm here. Amen? We are to help bear the burden when a believer is overtaken in a fault. So often the church has been rightly accused. We shoot our wounded. How many in this building, be honest with me, that's the way you have felt somewhere in your life. You've been treated that way by another brother or sister in Christ. You felt like they shot you. Can I see your hand? That's half of us. That's a lot, isn't it? If you are a sniper at Fellowship Church, you're fired. You're off the team. We don't need you shooting. Amen? We don't want you doing that. Got it? Say. Had a guy come to me years ago. He is sweet as pie. I liked him. Liked him a lot. But he actually said this to me. He said, "Who protects the church from the wolves? Who do you have as a member and members of your church that are out there in your church that are protecting the body of Christ from the wolves?" Like a Gestapo or something. I was like, nobody has that job, okay? I don't want anybody at Fellowship to have that job. Will you not come on Sunday morning all get up and ready to go to look down your nose at somebody? Would you come on Sunday morning not being suspect of somebody coming here or somebody maybe is going to show up and they look a little funny or, I hope you don't do that. I told this brother, I'm fine. I'm going to leave that up to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to leave that up to the Word of God. I'm going to leave that up to strong preaching. But I don't want us to nominate a little hit team around here. Got it? Yes or no? I couldn't believe you asked me. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a what? You which are what? Rehabbed. Amen? You that are strong and spiritual. Say it with me. Restore such a one in the spirit of what? Considering yourself, lest what? You also be what? Amen? That's our responsibility. I want to be that kind of place when we push that somebody in this town. And I loved it today. I had one couple that came today, and they just heard this was a good church to go to. And they came. I want them to hear even more than that. Praise God. I want them to hear more than that. Amen. Praise God. I want them to hear more than that. I want to hear specifically why we're a good church. And I'd like to be above everything else because that church loves Jesus Christ and that church loves people. Amen? Put my name down here somewhere. Let's love them. So we're to bear the burden of a believer when he's overtaken in a fault. The word overtaken actually means surprise attack. Can you say those two words with me? Surprise attack. Do you think people actually get saved? They put their faith in Christ. They start living for Jesus. And they actually spend time at home thinking how they can screw up their Christian life. Come on. But it happens. The word means surprise attack. The word fault, overtaken in a fault, means overtaken in a what? Sin. So it's obvious that Christians can be overtaken in sin if God's telling us a way to help Christians get their pack back on their back and get strong again. Amen? You think God loves me when my pack is falling off my back? I have a picture of Jesus in my mind that it's almost He loves me more. I know He doesn't, but when I'm down, it's like I see Him there. He's like the first one to be there. That's my picture of Jesus. What's your picture of Jesus? Is that your picture of Jesus? The word fault means sin. Keep going, Rod. It means that a believer has suffered a surprise attack and has sinned. That's what it means. But we're talking some heavy sin in here. Amen? You don't get off track. You don't get off the road per se. I mean, I know it's part of it, but I'm talking about with things, just daily struggles. That's not what this is talking about. This is man. Shoot. You made some really bad decisions. Amen? And you did it. And it was hard. It was horrible. Amen? This isn't a case of deliberate habitual sinning. It comes across as a surprise attack. It's a believer who is royally screwed up. Okay? And they can't find their way back home now. They were tempted, say it with me, and they what? Don't raise your hand. How many in this room have been tempted? Don't raise your hand, and you fail. I think we'd be surprised if we were honest. Not if we lied like we do on church on Sunday, but if we were really honest. I believe if I asked that question, listen, I believe if I asked that question and we were totally honest, I believe maybe every hand in this building would go up. Amen? Gosh, let's keep that kind of open mind. When we're thinking about somebody else. Amen? They were tempted and they fell. And so many believers that have done this, many of them aren't doing it anymore. But it's killing them. The fact that they did it. You listening? Boy, Satan is an evil adversary. Just destroys us. They were tempted and they fell. It's so oppressing and debilitating that they've been rendered what? Useless for kingdom work. Do you think it would be good for the church of God to be able to help and reach out to people so that God's children, no matter what the situation, that they could be some use to Him the rest of their life? Yes or no? Say. Hello? Help me here. Galatians 6:1. You which are spiritual, restore such an one. Who's supposed to do this? The word restore means to mend as a broken bone or a broken fishing net. How many in this room, if your arm was broke, would you be so stupid you wouldn't go get it fixed? Say, I like my bone sticking out this way. Amen? Or how many are so stupid in this room, if you have a fishing net, and it's got a gigantic hole and you're a mullet fisherman, would you not take the time to sew that thing up so that when you throw the net, the fish ain't going to get out? Say, that's how we need to look at our brothers and sisters in Christ. If somebody is broken, we need to help fix them. If somebody's got a gaping hole in them, we don't need to cause more problems for their life. We need to help plug that sucker. Amen? Mend that thing. A sinning believer is a broken bone in the body of Christ. They're a tear in the net of the local church. We should hurt with them. Hey, I'm not saying this is an easy message. If you're still so full of yourself and you didn't get the message shrink, it's probably going way over your head. But if you've decreased and He's increased, and you've learned a little bit in your life, and God's been teaching you and helping you, and you've understood grace and mercy, you're the spiritual ones I'm talking to. You got it? We can condemn them, or we can what? Help them. Help the man. The Bible clearly says that we are to help them. But you must be Spirit-filled to do this. What does Spirit-filled mean? Here's what Spirit-filled means. Let's just do a little test. The fruits of the Spirit are what? Love, joy, peace. I don't know them in order, but long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance. Did I miss one? Kindness maybe somewhere in there. But the point is, that's Spirit. That's why so often we can't help an erring brother, because where's the love, where's the joy, where's the peace, where's the long-suffering, where's the gentleness, where's the kindness, where's the temperance, where's the faith? We don't have it, so therefore we resort to kicking them in the teeth, because that's what we're good at in the flesh. I know this is strong, but I think it's good for us. It takes a lot of love to approach an erring brother or sister, doesn't it, say? So I'm talking about, hey, sometimes they're not going to be here. Sometimes they're going to be at their house. Sometimes, God's going to lay on us to go out and reach them. We need to go out to all the world and save that which was lost. I know that. I know we need to preach. I want to keep doing that like nobody's business. But what about the army of God who's been wounded? There's nothing so disgraceful as when a soldier would come home from fighting a battle on a battlefield overseas, and to see somebody spit on them like they did in Vietnam when they came back. Or people, that young men and women who've served our country, if they came back to this country and they had a limb blown off, and if there wasn't some medical people there to help them, that's part of our nature as Americans, isn't it? We're going to help them, right? Yes or no? Yeah. Well, how about let's do that in the Church of God? Some of these people that I'm talking about today, I bet you many times they're away from God. They can't find their way back home. But I bet if you sit down with them, they could tell you stories how they used to serve God. They were on the battlefield with us. And they're not just blowing smoke. Wouldn't it be good to get them back in the army again? Say. That's what I'm talking. A little odd message today. Jesus said, it's like eye surgery when you're doing this. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest the mote that's in your brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam that's in your own eye? How will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote or the speck in your eye, and behold, a 2x4 is in mine? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, then go, and you can see clearly how to cast out that mote out of your brother's eye. Amen? Need to care for people. You must do this with the spirit of meekness, the Bible says. In the spirit of meekness, consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. Keep looking. If the Church of Jesus Christ doesn't help here, then tell me who in the world will help. Here's the answer. Nobody. So did y'all listen to me this morning? Now you heard a little bit of this before, because this is something I teach, man. This is what we need to do. It's our clear responsibility. I want to go to another track now. We're going to be, I said it'd be short, it ain't. Here we go. Can you say that with me? We love Jesus and we love people. Can we do that? Can you look at somebody? You got the guts to do it? Look at them in their face and tell them. We love Jesus and we love people. Got it? So that's point number one. We need to be the Garmin Church. Can you say that with me? We need to be the Garmin Church. I want it when a believer who's backslidden, he thinks, I want to go home. I want him to think of Fellowship Church, Inglewood, Florida. I want him to think he can come here and be accepted. Why? Because there's spiritual enough people here that are going to reach out and we're going to help and restore and we're going to love. Amen? And that's what we're going to preach, the Word of God. That's what we're going to do. So that's number one. Second thing, after this scripture, though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, and have not love, charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of all prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith that I can remove mountains, I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I have not love, it profits me nothing. So this is the will of God for Fellowship Church. And I got a feeling, a strong feeling, as I'm talking today, there's several right in this room today. You've been away from God. But you're here. And you're wondering if I accept you. Are you kidding me? You're here, man. You're home. Are you hearing me? You're home here. And if that guilt's weighing you and it's killing you, and yet you've made that journey back, but you're quiet here. You come in and you just go out. That's okay. But I just want you to know something. I'm glad you're here. I love you. You can tell me anything. You hear me? Yes or no? You can tell me the blood of Jesus Christ can cover anything. If it can save a murderer, it can save you and cover you all the days of your life. I believe that with my whole heart. Amen? How many think when you get saved, you know, I mean, again, I may have said this earlier, but don't you need saving on Sunday too? Somebody tell me. I need saving on Sunday afternoon or Monday more than any other day of the week. That's my big day. Sunday afternoon, I'm really struggling. Monday, God saved me. Amen? Don't you need salvation all every day of your life? Amen. Say yes or no. I love Bob Nardi's testimony yesterday. Listen, Bob Nardi, come on. You're going to give that testimony to this church one day. They're going to hear it themselves one day, brother. I want them to hear it. Here's a man. You're a mean sucker. Listen. And Bob, is this true? You need saving still, don't you? Just not way back when, right? We're going to hear that testimony. Men heard it yesterday. Woo, was it good. The road back home. I want to talk to you that are hurting right now. You're here today and you're in our midst. I've already made the point what kind of church this is or it's going to be or it's going to keep being or whatever. We can always do better. But what about you? All God has to save are sinners. Can you say that with me? All God has to save are what? And He's saving me every day. And that might not line up with your theology, and I really don't care. But I still need saving every day. He loved you while you were condemned. How many believes Jesus loved us while we were condemned? You believe that? Why? Because the Bible says that. But God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If God loved me when I was condemned, do you think He loves me when I still sin? Yes or no? Does it grieve him? Does it hurt him? Yes. But is he saying, get away from me, or is he saying, come back to me? Oh yeah, y'all got it down. Here's what God wants to do for you today. If you're here today and you have been away from God, listen to me. You have been away from God. You know you have been. You're coming back. Satan is fighting you. Here's what God... You ever heard of AA? Here's what God wants to do for you. Here's what He wants to do for you. Pop it up. Here we go. Here's some serious recovery. Here's some serious rehab. God wants to fix you. God wants to fix you. Look, here's what. Pop it up. God wants to make me amazed. He wants to make you amazed today. He wants to... I think you're already amazed. I think some of you, if you're in that condition today where you're away from God, but you're inside the building and you want to get back, I think some of you are already amazed at the first part of the message. You're going, wow, I like this place. Aren't you saying that? I know I am. You know what I mean? God wants to make you amazed at His love. You thought I just loved you when you were lost. You thought I just loved you there on the cross. I want you to be so amazed. It's amazing grace, how sweet the sound. He wants to make you so amazed at His forgiveness. Boy, if you ever get there, the offering's going to come easy. Amen? Wow! You love me! Even when I'm bad! Isn't that incredible? Number two, God wants to make me alive again. Man, it's like you've been away from God and that bone's broken and the hole's in the net. God wants to make your bones alive again. He wants the Spirit to flow through you again. Isn't that a great God we have, say? Let's praise Him for that. Come on, He should just hear something. Yes, sir! Thank you, Lord! He wants to, this is our God. How many just heard God's a mean God? He wants to hit you upside the head with a bat. He wants to judge you. God is a holy God. Don't get me wrong. But God, you telling me if my son, Mitchell Clark, and he has done stuff that's ticked me off. Listen, are you telling me I don't love him? Joy and I, whenever we've got any issues with Mitch, it seems like we love him more, don't it? It seems like we love him more. Do you think we love better than God? Or do you think the love that she and I have for our son is a love from God? Oh yeah. You see what I'm saying? He wants to make you alive. Listen, He wants to make you a what? A light again. Wow! Satan's told you no good, you trash, you backslid, you've hurt some. Listen, you can't ever do anything again for God. Listen, bull. He wants your light to shine again. Y'all listening? He wants to make you aware of His great love and mercy. That's some AA. That's what I'm talking about. Got it? Listen, you can come back home. God does not want me to be, say it again, say that word with me, ashamed. Do you think a person who has sinned, and it's a bad sin, do you think after it's forgiven, and Jesus Christ has forgiven, and that person is restored, do you think that person should go around the rest of their life ashamed of what happened, of what they did? Yes or no? No. Do we like people to be ashamed because things they've done to us and hurt us? Do we like for them to be ashamed? Yes or no? Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Generally, human beings, we like for people to just wallow in shame the rest of their life. You know what I'm saying? Am I right? Yes or no? Do we have a hard time forgiving? Yes or no? Yes, we do. So God's not like that. He does not want you to be ashamed. Why? Because feeling guilty is the doorway back into sinful behavior. You're home. You're forgiven. God loves you. Just that blood that saved you back here is the blood that's cleansing you now. And He wants you to know He's cast it as far as the east is from the west. He's buried the depths of the sea. You're fixed. Can we say that? You're fixed. And I don't mean neutered. Say it one more time. You're, help me. You're what? Fixed. I'm sorry, I don't know where that came from. You're what? You're fixed. One more time. You're fixed. If God forgives you, and He does, you're what? Fixed. I am fixed. That's a good message. Release from guilt and shame gives you the freedom to go on and sin no more. Knowing God knows every sin you've committed and chooses to love you anyway is exhilarating and liberating. It makes you want to sing. It makes you want to dance. I think so many Christians, and I put myself in this camp, many times I don't want to sing and dance because, gosh, a lot of times I'm just not amazed at the love of God and the grace of God. Boy, when I get a picture of that, Clark can move, baby. Accepting God's forgiveness gives you the personal testimony or message of your life to share with the lost. Not only when you're saved. Do you think our world, do you think brothers and sisters in Christ could use a testimony of somebody who was away from God and God's grace drew them back and now they're serving God again? Do you think there's a lot of the church and people out there that can use that kind of testimony too? Absolutely. You can be used of God. Accepting God's forgiveness is the switch that turns you on so you can shine brightly for Jesus Christ. You need to accept that forgiveness. Okay? And I'm not even talking about what if somebody doesn't mean it. I'm not even talking about any of that mess. I'm talking about these are folks that want to get back. These are folks that want to serve God again. These are folks that are sorry. Amen? It's truly experiencing salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is God saving me on Sunday and saving me on Monday. Amen? And helping me, that's truly experiencing salvation. That's the God I serve in my life. Amen? Come on. I know I'm saved because I know I'm forgiven. That's how I know I'm saved. Are you clinging to some experience you made 30 years ago? Well, I saved a little church. It was just, hey, man, I heard that just as I am and the music playing. Are you saved today because He forgave you 20 minutes ago? I like a salvation that's current. Amen. I'm saved because I asked Him this morning in the truck out there to forgive me of sin. And you know what He did? He forgave me. You know what that means Clark is? Somebody tell me. Saved. I'm His son. He loves me. That's incredible. I've been traveling on a rocky road. I came to the conclusion that I needed some help, so I turned around and I did a 180. I realized that I needed to shrink and I let the world see Christ instead of me. That's what I've done. I found out along the way that I'd faced many a disorder in people's personalities, but knew that I should just keep driving on. I finished up my rehab with some physical therapy last week that made me stronger than I ever thought I could be. I'm back on the road again. And when I pull in my driveway, I'll know that salvation has come to my house. Amen? Good word today for our heart. God bless you. The road back home. Amen. Let's just give the Lord some praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord.